This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. Happy New Year! Welcome back to Rock My Wedding, the podcast. We hope you all had a lovely Christmas and New Year break. Did you, Char?
I did.
Did you eat all the turkey?
It was amazing. I ate all the green triangles from the Quad Street.
Are they your favourite?
Yes.
Mine are the toffee fingery ones.
Oh.
I love them.
Oh, I leave those. You should come over to mine.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones that are left in the tin.
Keep them for me for next time. Congratulations if you've just got engaged. We love a Christmas engagement, don't we?
We do. Huge congratulations. Yeah. I know it's the most popular time. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Eve.
All those celebratory times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations if you're newly engaged. Congratulations if you're oldly engaged. You might have been engaged for a while and just found us. This episode of the podcast is all about the wedding planning timeline. We're going to kick off this episode with five things you should do immediately after you get engaged. What do we think the first thing is we should be doing?
Celebrate. So many people, I think, just forget. Like, it's such a joyous occasion. Mm-hmm. You don't need to, you know, next day get on the blogs, buy a magazine.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you make the most of what is such, you know, an amazing event.
It's such a lovely moment in time, isn't it? That bubbles just is wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yes, celebrate. And your engagement is where you start the celebration, isn't it? Because the whole planning process is one massive celebration.
Yes.
You get Prosecco everywhere you go.
Yeah. Go for a dress trying on session.
Prosecco.
Visit a venue.
Prosecco.
And do some food tasting.
Oh, cake.
And Prosecco.
So, yeah, so don't forget to celebrate. That doesn't mean you have to have a massive shindig, does it? It just means take the moment and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
What do we need to do after we've celebrated?
Buy the Rock My Wedding book, Your Day Awake.
Yes.
It's published by Penguin Random House.
Written by Charlotte O'Shea.
Written by me. And it's available on Amazon or all good bookstores.
Yes. And it really is a great planning tool to have by your side, isn't it? It's so nice to have something tangible. We love Pinterest, obviously, and we're going to talk about that in this episode. But to have something physical that you can sit down with a cup of tea and flick through the pages.
We're trying. It's a book that's full of practical advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was the point of it, really, as well as giving you lots of lovely imagery and hopefully some inspiration to plan your day as well.
Pretty, but very practical.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So you've celebrated, you've got the book. The next thing to do really is to think about the timings of everything. And this episode is largely about timings, but, you know, think about a rough date, perhaps a couple of dates that might work for you, because it's not, you know, if you set your heart on one single date, it might be that you can't get all your vendors to fit within that one single date. So if you can think of a couple of dates, I think.
Yeah.
Give yourself a couple of options.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we'll talk about a 12-month timeline in this podcast, but we've had couples that have planned weddings in 12 weeks, 2 years, so we're going to go with an average in this one, because yours was quick, wasn't it?
Yes, so we planned our wedding, booked the venue, then realised the venue wasn't what we wanted, found an absolutely amazing venue that we couldn't afford, so we very luckily got a cancellation date, which meant that we could afford the venue that we subsequently decided we wanted, which meant that we had to plan the wedding in less than 5 months.
So speedy.
And it was possible. And actually, I think having the time pressure, meant that we faffed around a bit less. Because you had to make decisions. Yeah, much more ruthless. And I suppose it meant that I didn't really have time to change my mind.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
Go with your gut then.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm planning a wedding now because there is so much inspiration out there. I can more than understand how it must be difficult for you to think, I really like these flowers. Oh, no, I like these flowers. I like these flowers.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a shorter time frame, you essentially have to make those decisions. So, yes, ruthless is a good word, actually.
Yeah. As we got engaged in the July and we got married the following September. So ours was about 12 months planning.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about today would have worked nicely for me.
Yeah.
You would have just had to have condensed it a little bit.
And we do actually have our planning timeline on Pinterest.
We do.
And it has been by far one of our most repinned, saved.
And I'll link to it in the show notes as well, so everybody can get access to it.
So it must be useful for the majority of people.
Yeah. talking about Pinterest, that's our point number four of things to do after you get engaged.
Yeah.
Do get Pinterest because it is very, very useful.
And you can follow us on Pinterest at Rock My Wedding.
Yes, you can. We've got, oh, there's just hundreds of images there, but they're all in different sections.
Hundreds of thousands by now.
Hundreds of thousands, probably right. But it's they're all split into categories, so it's really easy to find the thing that you're looking for. So if it's your month for going to see a florist, you can choose the bouquet board or
there's
whatever it is.
Beauty boards, fashion boards, yeah. Specific seasonal boards, specific theme boards, specific colour scheme boards. Yeah. I could go on.
On and on. So yes, get yourself a Pinterest account and follow us. And the fifth and final thing to do once you get engaged is to make sure that you allow yourself some time off from wedding planning.
Yes, as soon as it feels like a chore or you feel like, I'm actually getting a bit stressed out, please don't. I know it's easy for us to sit here and say that, but honestly, it's such a great occasion, you know, hopefully you'll only do it once.
Yeah.
But take it for what it is. Like, it is an event that you have to plan. There are, you know, there are things that are going to not necessarily go according to plan, as it were. But if ever you find yourself thinking, I'm not really enjoying it at the moment, then just have some time off.
Yeah,
go out with your friends. Yeah. Go away with your fiancé for the weekend.
It's simple as having a date night, isn't it? If you start getting a bit bickery about
things. Just have a weekend off and think, do you know what? I'm just going to spend this weekend not even thinking about weddings. Yeah. And you'll find that you'll be really refreshed once you've taken a step away and come back to it afterwards.
You will. Okay. So you've celebrated, you've done all our steps, you've got your book, you've got your Pinterest board set up, you've scheduled in some date nights.
Prosecco.
You've had all the Prosecco. Now it's time to actually start the planning of the wedding. Like I said just a minute ago, we will add all these things to the show notes so you can see the guide, the breakdown guide to what you should be doing, when you should be doing it, to give yourself enough time. And we're going to work on a 12-month basis.
Step one, work out your budget.
Yes.
Because that's where it all starts, really. You need to know how much you have to spend.
Yeah, you can't do anything until you've worked that out, can you?
And that dictates so many things with regards to the supplies that you choose, where you have your wedding, how many guests you can have, because, of course, the more guests, the more it costs.
Yeah.
So that is definitely the place to start. We are actually considering doing a budget podcast as our next one.
Yes. So you've asked for it. So we're going to try our best to do that as the next one,
which will really go into it.
Yes. So make sure you listen out for that one if you're interested in how to actually break down your budget.
Yes. And if anyone is going to contribute to your wedding, do you have that discussion with them? And there's no point in being vague at this stage. You know, if you're lucky enough to have your grandparents or your parents or any friends or family, however it works out for you, offer to contribute. It's very generous and you need to ask them how much that is and sort of what their expectations are. If you listen to our podcast on the guest list,
episode three, I think.
If you go, that goes into that whole thing in a lot more detail.
Yeah.
So cards on the table.
Yeah.
How much have you got to spend?
Yeah. Don't be shy. Okay. And the next thing to do then is to, going back to the guest list, I suppose, is choose your wedding party. Decide who's going to be in your bridesmaids and your groomsmen and your all of that.
Yeah, all of the sort of the people that are integral to your wedding, I guess.
Yeah.
From there, who you're inviting.
Yes.
And that gives you the numbers that you need, because before you have an idea of numbers, you can't go on to the next step, essentially.
Which is to find a venue.
Yeah. So 12 months to go, which, as we've said before, please take this planning timeline as it is, because everyone's different, everyone's got a different amount of time, but we can't not give you some kind of guide.
Yep.
So, 12 months to go, choose your venue, because until you've got your venue, you can't really book anything else, can you?
And at that point, when you're researching your venue, if you need to hire in caterers from outside, it's probably a good time to start looking at them at the same time. I'm sure venues will
they'll have recommended lists, or you can have a look at Rock My Wedding, the list, which is our directory of our chosen suppliers.
Yes, find amazing caterers on that. Check when you're looking at your venue and asking about dates, you also need to make sure that those dates tie up with your celebrant or whoever it is that's going to be.
Or if you're having a venue for reception but you're having a ceremony in church, obviously those two things really need to tie up.
So before you pay in any deposits or anything like that, you need to ask the question of each person that needs to be involved in that whole thing to make sure they're available in the dates
and that everything matches up.
Yes. You can also look into this at this point, getting your wedding license, and also if you wish to take out wedding insurance, get that at the start.
I just don't understand why anyone wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it's not really expensive in the grand scheme of things. And as soon as you're laying out any kind of deposit.
And, these are generally, they're big figures, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, we all know that weddings aren't necessarily that cheap these days.
No.
So, yeah, you are better to cover your back and get some
wedding insurance. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Step four, 11 months to go.
Here is where, if you want one and your budget allows, you get yourself a wedding planner right at the start. So you already know your venue where you want to get married, so you can go to a wedding planner, perhaps who's, that wedding venue have used before, maybe, so they're familiar with it.
Yeah.
And take them on board at this point.
And there are, of course, planner planners, and there are planner stylists.
Yeah.
Or there are just stylists.
Yes.
So you really need to find out sort of what that person can offer you and what it is that you want, because you might want somebody who's very much organisational, but you want to do all the styling yourself.
Yeah.
Or you just might
want the opposite.
You might just want to pass everything on to somebody else.
Make it look pretty.
Yeah.
There will be a link in the show notes to a post about stylist versus planner as well.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure what the difference is, go to the show notes and there's a link to a post about that there for you.
What we'd also say, so very near the beginning of your planning process, whatever that time is, but as we're talking about, this is an average, so 11 months, you really need to consider all of the suppliers, particularly those that are the most important to you. So if that's your photographer, your videographer, your florist, and see if they have availability for the date that you've booked, because the best suppliers, obviously, are the most popular and they get booked up in advance. It's not to say I don't want you to stress about it. It's not to say that you won't get availability, especially if you're willing to be slightly more flexible on the date that you've chosen. So if it's not peak season, you'll have more of a chance of getting the supplier that you want.
Yeah.
But at least have a look at all the different suppliers that you want and send them inquiries and see if they're even available.
Yeah, absolutely. You want all your dates to tie in, don't you?
You do.
So the sooner you can find out people's availability, the easier it will be to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same goes sort of like trying on dress fittings and things like that. Because if you want to take your mom with you, or your mother-in-law, or your friends, or your sister, or whoever it might be, it's not always an easy task to get people available on the same day. And then as well as that, you've then got to make sure that you can get an appointment at the boutique that you want.
Because most weekends, boutiques, they're appointment only, aren't they? So you've got to just try and get a bit organised with those.
Yeah. And, once those things are sort of out of the way, I'd say you can move on to step five, which is 10 months to go, which actually we'd say have a bit of a rest, to be honest.
Just
have a few weeks rest, please do.
Yes, give yourself a bit of a break. So you've made appointments at your boutique, so you know your dates are available, so have a month off, put your feet up and relax and get ready just to visit those appointments.
Just have a little peeky at the Rock My Wedding Pinterest.
Keep it along, but... Yeah. And you could also catch up on episodes of the podcast,
of course,
if you've not listened to the first ones.
And then after you've had your little rest, it's about 9 months to go.
Yeah.
And we're on to step six, which can then be your big month of sorting.
Yes. So we reckon between 6 and 9 months, these are the things that you need to try and secure. So you should have ordered your dress. You should have secured your florist. And you should be talking to cake makers about tastings and your requirements and the sort of thing that you want for your cake.
At this point as well, if you're doing a save the dates, then do that. And whether that's, the traditional sense of sending them out in the post, or you're just dropping people an email to make sure that they're available for your date, because if you're a certain demographic, a lot of your friends will be getting married at the same time.
I don't know about you, but even trying to see my friends is difficult these days, because everybody's always got something on all the time.
And also, your date, especially if it's peak season, often
summer,
there's quite a few weddings. So, to be honest, again, like we're saying, this 6 month point, but I remember, because we had such a short time, as soon as we booked that venue,
it was out.
We were like, this is the date, we can secure it, and then made sure that all of our best friends and everything were available anyway. So you could, even as soon as you've secured the date at your venue, just drop them an email or text or a WhatsApp message and just say, are you free?
Yeah.
Please come to our wedding.
At this point as well, we would suggest that you sign up for a gift registry if you're going to have a gift list.
Yeah, we are partners with the wedding shop.
Yes, we are.
Who are amazing, hence why we're partners with them.
Yeah.
And they will give you a full service where you can pick the most amazing things for your list. It's all online, it's on an app. So everything is super easy for your guests to be able to sort of contribute or buy the pieces that you want. So yes, have a look into
theweddingshop.com. It's worth saying, isn't it, that it's not just, you know, toasters and kettles these days. You can get charity contributions, can't you? Contributions towards honeymoon, spend.
Yeah.
There's so many options.
And also, like, the things that you've always really wanted. I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think, oh, that's a bit of a luxury, I can't have that. Well, then, have it as a wedding gift.
Yeah.
Like, even something that you think, you know, I'm going to use it forever.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to, you know, get the crystal out or anything, but...
But why not?
But you know, if amazing dinner services, seriously, they last for years and years and years. And I wish I had done something more like that.
Yeah. And then every time you're using it, you're
creating, you know, it's the memories and everything, isn't it? So, and as we said, a gift list doesn't have to be so specific as you have to buy me this cushion, which is £120.
Yes.
You can have contributions so that, you know, people can put some money towards something. Yes. Might be an amazing speaker for your living room or whatever. Yeah. Which... It's great.
And also the good thing with them is you can change your mind, can't you? You can
with
have
the wedding
your
list.
With the wedding shop.
But yeah.
If it, you know, say it's 12 months in advance, you've put it together. And then when you come to actually having your gifts, if you've changed your mind about that speaker and you want to get that toaster, then you can do that. You can change your
even
mind.
Even a certain amount of swaps you can do.
Yeah. Well, link into the show notes some posts we've got about how to use the wedding shop service as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be really useful for everybody.
At this point as well, we'd also strongly suggest that your partner considers what they're wearing.
Yes.
So be that a suit or indeed a dress. They obviously need to figure out what they're going to wear and discuss it, you know.
And it's one of those things, isn't it? We didn't really discuss what Anthony was wearing, really. It was you kind of do that bit by yourself, don't you? With us, neither of us knew what the other one was really wearing that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I went suit shopping with James.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Which is I mean, it's one of those traditions, isn't it?
I still like to push him, though. I was still like, you know, have you found are you doing
this?
Have you found that bit?
Yeah,
I know you need a waistcoat to define that.
Because we're like, oh, you can't see the dress, which is a tradition you may or may not be bothered about.
Yeah.
Whereas I literally knew exactly what he was wearing. But it depends on your partner as well, because James is very much like, I want you to see it. I want your opinion on whether you think it's right or not.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting a House of Fraser bargain.
Yeah.
Fitted amazing.
It's just remembering that they're there as well, isn't it?
And
just, you've sorted your dress appointments, but your partner also needs to have done whatever it is that they need to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So moving on into the 6 and 7 months to go category. Step seven, if you will. This is a great time to go bridesmaid dress shopping.
Yeah.
You've nailed your dress. Now it's time to go out, have a great shopping trip with your girls. And find their dresses with them.
When you go bridesmaid shopping, you're more than likely got a particular style in mind.
Yeah.
Perhaps a particular colour.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is you might be pleasantly surprised when you and your girls pick dresses from the store that you fancy trying on. And it might be a completely different style and a completely different colour.
It might
be. To what you thought that suits everyone, that everyone likes.
And at this point, that's okay.
That's okay. Because you've got plenty of time to change your colours. If you need to change your colours, perhaps your entire floral decor is going to be blush.
Yes.
And your bridesmaids' dresses are aubergine.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And anything goes.
Yeah.
So.
Your day, your way.
Exactly.
Have whatever you want.
So, you know, have an open mind.
Yes.
Never feel restricted.
Yeah.
And the worst that can happen is you speak to a supplier, such as your florist in this instance,
mm-hmm.
and they say, unfortunately, it's, you know, too late. But there's no harm in asking the question.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm sure even, you know, again, at this stage, if it's slightly too late to change something completely, there might be a compromise.
It might be that they can change buttonholes perhaps and not the whole thing, but there might be some sort of compromise where you can change subtle things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or at least they can sort of give you a budget if it's increased or indeed decreased depending on your
just like we've
choices.
Said before, you always ask the question. The worst that can happen is someone will say no, isn't it? But always
and then you ask
if you've got something on your mind. Always ask.
Absolutely.
So we should also, at this point, be confirming catering if you need to get outside catering into your venue.
Yeah, and always taste the food.
Always taste
another
the
food. Fun bit.
Yes. And don't forget that glass of Prosecco that comes with it. But yes, always taste it because you don't want to say yes to something and then sit down at your wedding breakfast and not enjoy what you're putting in your mouth.
No.
No.
At this point as well, if you're considering a professional stage dinner, then you need to make inquiries there. If you haven't already, because of course, if you're already sending out save the date and you want all your stationery suite to match, you may have already done that step. But certainly between 6 and 7 months, you need to speak to
they get booked up
they
as well.
Do,
and
they
it
do.
Takes a long time for them to create, especially if it's bespoke.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of effort that goes into it, so they need a lot of warning.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And another thing to think about this 6-7 months to go is your transport. If you're having specific transport, you need to get in touch, find out what vehicles they've got available, how it works, how long you have them for.
Yeah, where you need
dates availability.
Transport from. So if you're going from your home to a church and a church to your reception venue, you might not necessarily need any transport at all if you're having it all in one place.
Yeah.
Or you might want to provide transport for your guests
as well,
especially if it is two different venues for your ceremony and your reception. Yeah. So you might want to book a minibus or whatever. But as we said, you know, these things do get booked up, as you know, especially perhaps in your particular area that you're getting married. So
if there's not that many car wedding
the integral parts
services
of your wedding, as soon as you've got time, those are the things that you need to confirm.
Yeah, and certainly no later at this point for things such as transport.
Yeah,
you need to make sure that you've got that nailed.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, you can do it last minute, but obviously you're not going to have as much choice.
Yes.
And that's the difference.
Yes, exactly. And at this point as well, we would suggest that you start looking into decor hire and things like that, trying to make decisions about what you want.
Yeah, because again, like if your wedding falls on the same day as someone else's wedding and there's a particular company that you love all their stuff and, you know, Barbara's got the sofa that you wanted to borrow for your outside seating area.
Barbara.
So you're going to have to find someone else.
Yeah.
Whereas at this stage, Barbara's not booked it yet.
Yeah.
Get in there first.
Exactly. At least have a definite idea of what you want to have so you can steal that sofa from
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry, Babs.
4 to 5 months to go. Step 8, you should finalise your partner's attire. Make sure that's ordered, because you need to have time for alterations as well. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
We've heard a few stories where they've not given enough time, and what's happened is they're like, oh no, it's fine, I've got time for one alteration. So they've gone and had the alteration, tried it on, hasn't been
still not quite right,
and there's just not been the time to go back, have it re-altered, pick it up in time for the wedding, which is a shame.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So make sure that you're, because again, like everyone else, alterations companies also get busy, especially during peak wedding season.
We'd also suggest at this point, 4 to 5 months to go, is to send your invitations out.
Yes.
And even if you've sent a save the date already, still get them out.
Or WhatsApp messages, check they're free.
Yeah.
Send that invite out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it depending on the type of wedding you have, will depend on what information is in that invitation, what
Absolutely.
They need to know. Do they need to book accommodation?
Yeah.
All those sort of things.
What are their dietary requirements?
Exactly. And it takes time to get all those things back, as we've discussed.
If you want
before.
To hear more about that, it's episode 3 of the podcast, so go back and have a listen.
Yeah. But definitely get them out, 4 to 5 months to go. Get those invites out in the post or however you're doing it, email, website, whatever it might be.
Also at this point, if you are having wedding rings, then this would be the point where you go out and have a look.
Yes.
A bit of window shopping, a bit of trying on.
Yeah. Because again, it, depending on what you're having, it can take that amount of time.
Might be more bespoke.
Yeah.
You might choose something that needs, again, resizing or something.
Yeah, or something that's being made from scratch, all those things.
Yeah, I had an absolute mare with my wedding ring.
Did you?
Complete mare. No, it wasn't the supplier's fault at all. It was purely getting it. I think I went in and it was quite a hot day.
Mm.
So I had my measurements.
Did you get a fat finger?
I got a fat finger. So I had my measurements done and then I left it last minute because our wedding was, you know, quite restricted on time anyway. And so when I went to try it on, it was just too big.
Oh no.
So luckily they resized it just in time.
Oh good.
And then it didn't really work with my engagement ring.
Are you joking?
No. And I think I'd done it so last minute that it was like, it was very nice, but it just didn't. It's really strange.
So did you get it changed?
That's probably another podcast in itself. Yes.
Oh.
So I tried to keep it as close to the original design as possible, but sort of added some more modern elements to make it look
work better. How interesting.
It sounds so, not the words I want to use here, like so pedantic, shallow.
Not fussy mare.
Fussy, what's it? But whichever. Yeah. So it's these things sometimes that you just leave and think
unexpected.
It's not important. And then you're like, oh my gosh, my wedding ring doesn't even fit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to look at organising your dress fittings at this point as well, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
If you've bought it from a boutique, obviously.
And you've ordered it 6 months in advance.
Yeah, you arrange your first fitting via your boutique. They normally have seen
which might, from this point, be another month's time.
Because
it does take a few months sometimes for these dresses to come in stock.
But get that fitting
date
in.
But at least you've got the fitting in so that, again, you're allocating yourself enough time if you need a second fitting.
Exactly.
Or indeed a third sitting.
Yeah.
Because you might. I don't know, different underwear can have
an impact
on how your dress fits.
Yeah.
Or even if you've decided to change your hairstyle. So how, you know, the back of your dress, all of those things, you might not think about it at the time.
Yeah.
Hence why we're giving you this podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, and again, peak season particularly, boutiques for alterations get very, very busy.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that you don't leave that to the last minute.
Because
again, just from experience of people I know, not even via the blog, have had issues with their dresses not being quite right
and
for the day.
And
we don't want to panic you, but just make sure you book the alteration in.
Yeah. It booked in. And if you've bought your dress from the high street or not a boutique, then make sure you get in a reputable seamstress to do your alterations. Ideally, if you can get a recommendation.
At this point as well, you've hopefully already had a trial with your hair and makeup artist
Indeed.
Or somebody that does both. So if you're absolutely 100% happy with it, then great, you might not need another one. But if you do, this is the point to finalise exactly what you want. So you might have had your makeup done, you might have loved the finish on your skin, you might have loved the lip colour, but perhaps you weren't that keen on the eyes, so you want to go for something different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always best to make sure that you actually try that out rather than sort of risking it for the day and then not being quite happy with it.
Yeah.
And obviously take photos, please.
Absolutely.
Of the finished look in daylight.
Yes.
If you possibly can.
Yeah.
And also indoor light,
because
that's how your makeup is going to look realistically on the day.
Yeah,
for any wedding in any season at some point.
It's supposed to look different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. We move forward to step nine, which is a mere 8 weeks to go.
8 weeks to go.
Can you imagine being that close? 8 weeks after all of that planning. You've probably had your dress fit in by now, we would hope. You've had your first fitting.
It might be in for alterations.
You might be getting mega excited.
Yeah.
This 2 months before is really your finalising period where you're, you know, sort of bringing everything together. You're finalising your music choices, your readings, if you're going to have them.
Yeah, we've got a whole podcast on readings. Go back to the archives and have a butcher's.
Absolutely. And finalising your order of service as well, how the day's going to go and getting that straight in your head. This is what happens here.
I love an order of service as a guest.
Do you?
I just like
just want to know.
It's just exciting.
What's coming?
I like to know what's happening when.
Yeah.
We would highly recommend at this stage having your pre-wedding shoot with your photographer.
Yeah.
You don't have to have one, but we think it's a great idea too because you get comfortable in front of the camera, you get to know your photographer better, they get to know you. It's an opportunity to just have some lovely photos.
Really good
of
photos.
Yourselves.
In your normal attire.
In your normal attire.
Than, you know,
In the run-up to your wedding, which is a really joyous time anyway. And we say 8 weeks because you may want your photos to be of a similar season to what your wedding is.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, if you're booking your photographer as far in advance as you can, which we would also recommend because as we've said, they get booked up, then you might want, say, a winter shoot.
Yeah,
and
totally
different season. And your wedding's in the summer.
Yeah.
So just bear that in mind, that it is something that you should definitely take advantage of if your photographer offers it.
Absolutely.
And that there are so many benefits
to it. Because you do feel so much more relaxed on the day than I remember when we had our engagement shoot. It was brilliant. It was weird and it was awkward and we felt a bit strange because we'd never done it before.
Yeah.
But I would rather have felt like that at my engagement shoot than on my wedding day.
Yeah.
So it was 100% worth doing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I didn't feel awkward and weird. I just felt like, oh, this is just a bit fun.
And then you have some lovely photos.
Yeah. And even then, just being the two of us, it still didn't feel like we were being shot. Like, it was really relaxed by the end of it. So when the wedding day came, it was just great.
One of the things I wish we'd done, which was one, have a pre-wedding shoot, but because we had such a short time frame, our photographer offered us one, but we just couldn't fit it in, is have one of those shots printed off for your day and have all your guests sign it.
Oh, I love that.
And keep
idea.
It forever.
Yes.
Like, I know for some people listening to this, they've probably seen this idea lots of times, but some people haven't.
Yeah.
And actually, you've got that photo then of you and you've got all your guests' well wishes. Because let's face it, a guest book What do you do with that?
Put it in the drawer.
We put it in the drawer.
Yeah.
We put it in the loft. I think that's where ours is at the moment, in our like wedding paraphernalia box. Whereas if we had that lovely photo with all our guests.
It's a great idea. And I've been to a few weddings where we've done that.
You'd have it on a wall.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Ever.
Yeah. And you're looking banging.
You're looking banging. Yeah, absolutely.
At this point too, you should also chase any outstanding RSVPs.
And there will be some.
Oh, there'll be some. There will be. So just, we've talked about this again, haven't we, in the episode 3, the guest list. You just ask.
Yeah, WhatsApp,
really
text,
need an RSVP
email,
now.
Harass.
Yeah, get them answers because your venue's going to be wanting numbers.
Yeah.
You want to be finalising seating plans and things like that. Yeah. So you need to know exactly who's coming, what they're eating, all of that that goes along with it. So, you know, just take the bull by the horns and get that RSVP
Get that RSVP back.
And also perhaps at this point, just give all your suppliers a little email, a little phone call. Just make sure everything's still fine.
Yeah.
You know, they're still ready for that day.
The timings are all agreed.
What you understand that they are.
Yeah.
Just to reassure yourself.
Yeah, because also things change slightly. So you might be having, I don't know, your ceremony at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you thought, okay, so I'm going to start getting ready at 9. So I'll get my photographer in for then. Then it's actually you spoke to your brides. Oh, no, I think, you know, we need to start getting ready at 8 because the hair stylist has said that it's going to take X amount of hours and I want everybody in the photos. So those little changes.
Yeah.
And you just need to sort of reconfirm exactly what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. Agreed.
The last point for step 9 is this will be when the vast majority of your suppliers will require final payment.
It is.
It's always in advance. So it's really good to make sure that you've got all your budgeting done. A lot of brides like to pay their suppliers that they're definitely confirming in advance of this because it makes the budgeting easier in a way.
Yeah, so you've not got everything going out.
Yeah,
one
you've not
time.
Got one big lump sum to think about 2 months before before the actual day.
And just make sure you get that date clear, I think, with your suppliers as well.
Yes, what the expectations are, absolutely. Yeah. You know, put it in your calendar.
Yeah,
it's easy thing to do.
Yes.
And make sure that's all finalised.
And then our final step is sort of like
step 10,
three weeks to go. Well, 3 weeks till the date, really, I suppose, isn't it? So arrange your seating plan, episode 4. If you need some help with that, guys, go back and have a little listen. Yeah. Get all that sorted and finalised, who's sitting where. And if you're going to write your vows, you should probably start thinking about it.
Yeah.
Don't leave that till the day before.
No. Again, something I wish we'd done, but we just ran out of time, really.
I think I would just have cried if I'd have written my own.
Yeah, maybe. All adds to it, though.
It does.
But three weeks to go.
Yeah. Start your first draft.
It's a good time. Yeah, definitely. If you're going to have your hair cut and or coloured, it's also a good time. Please, don't. Just the same with, I always say about makeup and skincare, don't decide to go for something drastic and have hair dye at this point when you've never tried it and have some kind of allergic reaction or whatever. Obviously, you know,
make sure you've had it before
and say you're happy, you know exactly what you're going for and everything's all going
to
be fresh.
If you're looking to change the colour of your hair.
Fresh and swingy like a kilt.
Don't leave anything till now.
No.
Have done it, you know, months and months in advance if you're having a big change or whatever you're going to do. Just what we were just saying about writing vows, we should also be writing speeches at this point as well.
Yes.
Shouldn't we? Definitely. All the writing.
All the writing, please. So you've got a couple of weeks to just, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's.
And practice it, because when you come to that moment of standing up and actually having to make a speech, it can be a little bit overwhelming, even if you feel confident about it.
Yeah.
I think you're standing up there, all of a sudden you can be like, ugh, sweaty palms, dry throat.
Not that Becky wants to panic anyone. no, honestly, we're just, it's all a bit tongue in cheek. It's anyone who does a speech is, everyone loves it.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the day. But if you have got in mind the kind of things that you're going to say, you don't have to read off have to be like a script.
Just
of course
get your dots down.
Yeah.
Know what you want to cover.
That's the main points that you want to cover.
You know,
get those down.
All of
those. And if you give yourself a few extra weeks, you might think of things.
Yeah.
Extra bits and pieces that,
absolutely,
you know, that are funny or sentimental or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also think about delegating the small tasks for the day.
Delegation is really important.
It is.
And we literally mean small tasks. It might be that you want something put out on display and one of your bridesmaids can do it. Or it might be...
And they're asked to have your lip gloss.
Yeah, exactly.
And be in charge of topping it up.
Yes, absolutely. It might be that while you're getting ready, you want one of your bridesmaids to meet the florist and take care of distributing the buttonholes or the corsages or whatever it is that you decide to have. Yeah. And it's all those little
tiny things.
Yeah, but give them to someone else.
Yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Do it.
You don't want to be in charge.
Don't do it all yourself.
Anything.
you want to be sitting down, having your hair and makeup done, having a laugh with your best girls.
Yeah.
No stress, no pressure, all those little things, give them to someone else because they'll 100%. Be more than happy to, just as you would if it was your friend's
wedding. Yes, exactly. And then probably a week or two before, you're going to pick up your dress.
I need to pick up your dress.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, so exciting.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the best moments for me was picking my dress up. My dad drove me there, picked it up, squashed it into the car. Oh,
and you were like, don't grease it. Yeah. Yeah. One of my favourite moments was actually driving down to the venue because we went the afternoon before the day.
Yeah.
We stayed in a nearby hotel with my sister with a dress in the back, the cake on a lap, which collapsed. Yes, but that's the story from another day.
In a previous podcast.
And and we had like all the tunes on in the car and some of the songs that I'd had planned for the wedding reception,
it's
so all of that.
Lovely, isn't it?
So yeah, so it really built up all the atmosphere. But I remember getting to the hotel and being like, right, where can I hang the dress? It cannot trail on the carpet.
I made sure I slept in the bed that was next to the wardrobe that we hung it up on.
Well, just in case someone came in and
no one's going by that. I will sleep with one eye open. And I guess the final thing to say is that night before, that's the final bit of the plan, isn't it? Try and have a great night.
Yeah.
Try and be relaxed.
And try and get a good night's sleep. I know that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But, you know, run yourself a bath.
Yeah. Chill.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
Listen have another glass of prosecco. Yeah. Listen to your favourite music. And I know, just to point out, we have gone on about prosecco.
It's not sponsored by prosecco.
No. And obviously, drink responsibly.
Please do.
Right.
That's it.
I think that's it. Yeah. Well, I mean,
wedding plans.
That's it. It's all done. But seriously, enjoy it.
Yeah, every moment.
Enjoy it. That's the most important thing. Nothing is impossible.
Yeah.
Things won't always go your way.
Yeah.
There is always an answer.
Yeah.
There is always a compromise. There is always an alternative.
There is.
Always.
And we will, as always, link everything in the show notes. I'll link a few weddings where they've been planned in a shorter amount of time as well. So you can see that it can be done. It can be achieved in a shorter amount of time. And all the planning guides and everything are downloadable. So we'll link to those posts as well. So you can print it all off and use it and, you know, enjoy planning every second of your wedding.
Have the most amazing time.
Yes.
And, of course, follow Rock My Wedding.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. For more content, visit rockmywedding.co.uk, follow us on Instagram at rockmywedding, or buy the book Your Day, Your Way from Amazon or any leading book retailer. This podcast is produced by We Are The Clarks.